I wonder if we're going to get off Luke 1 the next couple of days, I promise. Luke 1, 79.
We're close.
Verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. We studied to give light, which is it's in the active voice. It means to reveal the light to them that dwell in darkness. Sit is just the word for dwell. We study darkness. It can be blindness or evil works or physical darkness or moral or spiritual darkness. Now we're on to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. We're going to look at a bunch of shadow of death scriptures. First go to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's the most memorable of the shadow of death scriptures. And the way it's constructed and in the language, it means not just some time when you die, but it means all of time and space. That's where we walk. We're walking in the valley of the shadow of death. Shadow just is a word, skia, which means the normal shadow, or a metaphor for it's overcoming you. Anyway, now we're going to look at a bunch of these. Let's go to Job, chapter 3. Job is just before Psalms. Job is complaining to God about why he was even born. So after this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which I was, it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for the night, let darkness seize upon it, etc., etc. So again, the shadow of death. Let's go to Job 12, 22.
He was a different writer than Luke.
Huh?
He was
a
different writer than Luke.
Oh, yeah. Job was, it's said to be the oldest book in the Bible. But nobody knows for sure. But it was, and it's written in Hebrew, but in the, it's the same, when it's, it means the same thing that we're studying. The shadow of death is skia thanatos in Greek. I don't remember what it is in Hebrew. Something sheol. Anyway, chapter 12. Verse.
Chapter 22 or chapter 12?
No, I'm sorry, chapter 12, verse 22. Job now is in a better place, and his friends of reproving Job. Starting 21, it says, "He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth the deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death." There's a thing that has to happen. And it's the same horror of great darkness that Abraham felt. You have to have, at some point, see your life as Job first did, bewailing your birth. And then after the light, you see the light, then you can say, here, as Job did, "He discovereth the deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death." Now, most of the time, we don't let our minds reach that point of the shadow of death because we invent devices to get out of it. But Job is saying here, it's because of the darkness and the shadow of death that you're able to discover the deep things of God. And that's why the people that say that you should never be in that place, you should always be blah, 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 then they're missing the mystery of God, about the deep things of God are known only in suffering and in the shadow of death. But you have to stay in that place. You can't. Everybody has reached that place at some point. But you have to stay in it long enough to do as he said, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. Everybody understand that? That's why you never think the evidence that you believe a wrong or another gospel is that you are convinced that the suffering that you're going through is a strange thing, that it shouldn't happen to you. And so you use every device possible to get out of it rather than resting in it. That's huge. Amen? All right. Job 24.
Just a few pages to the right.
Here Job is complaining to God about his indifference, apparent indifference to wickedness. Anybody been there? Anyway. Let's start in verse 12. "Men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the path thereof. The murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, No eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses which they had marked for themselves in the daytime." In other words, they rob. "They know not that light. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one knows them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. He is swift as the waters. Their portion is cursed in the earth. He beholdeth not the way of the vineyard." Now, it doesn't matter whether you're a thief by the world's standards and you're a murderer by the world's standards, or you're extremely wealthy by the world's standards. this shadow of death will still get to you. I remember talking to a man I used to know very well. Who's a multi-billionaire. And I just said to him, has all your wealth gotten you any peace? And he just sat there as if I hit him with a 2x4. Anyway, again, hear the shadow of death. Now let's go to Psalm. We just read the 23rd Psalm. Let's go to the 44th Psalm. Verse 11. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. Now who is the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger?
Your mind.
Your mind. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee. Neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way, though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death. Now, what David is saying is that even in the shadow of death, we ascribe all this other stuff that bad stuff, we don't say it's from some other place, we say it's from God. And he has covered us even in the shadow of death. So what he's saying is it doesn't matter what your mind is telling you. It doesn't matter what anybody else is happening. Well, I mean, what anybody else thinks. This psalm, I don't remember even what happened. It was probably around the time that I stole Trinity's car. But I went out and in my Bible, especially the Psalms, I never underlined in the Bible, but in that time I did. And I underlined all of these. I was upset for about some. But I underlined all these scriptures. We are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Forget also thine own, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but you've got to understand, Job first talked about that he wished he hadn't even been born. He was honest. He said, let the shadow of death cover me. And then he came and said, even light, even in the shadow of death, I see thy light. Now here, as we go through these psalms, we see David doing the same thing. So don't think that suffering is strange. If you abide, if you wait in him, you will see the light and it will all make sense. Amen? Okay, Psalm 107. Well, verse 19 was the one we were studying, Psalm 44:19. Now we're in Psalm 107. Let's start in verse 1. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their dark distress and led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress and brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death. You have to be honest. You can't do the religious mind says, well, I need to just repeat a bunch of stuff and it'll, you know, God will, and I need to praise him. I don't even feel like praising him, but I need to praise him because God inhabits the praise of Israel or his people. That's sorcery. God wants from you honesty. He doesn't want you to act like anything. He just wants you to be one thing, one person. And you will go through the land of the shadow of death and say it. Don't try to act nice. The promise of God and the promise of the scriptures and the promise of life itself is that he will redeem you out of the land of the shadow of death. Amen? All right, now let's go to Isaiah 9. Keep going to the right. For all our Bible scholars. Chapter 9, just one verse. Verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Hallelujah. Everybody understand? Okay, Jeremiah 2. Right.
Chapter 2.
Yep. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruit of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Now hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof, etc. So he's warning Israel, because Israel is living just like the Gentiles. They're walking after the vanity of their own minds. They are successful after the world's standards. They're a busy city of trading in Jerusalem. And he's saying, you're screwed. All right, Jeremiah 13. Just one verse. Two. Here, verse 15. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turned it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Now this is about 30 years or so before Israel is carried away captive. He sees what's going on. He sees that they've each one gone after their own way. Each one build their own house and not the house of the Lord. And he says, he's still saying to us and to all, wait on me. Wait only on me. Wait on me. And even in the shadow of death, I will reveal my light. All right. Amos chapter 5. It's Daniel, Hosea, and Amos. Joel and Amos, I mean.
Gross darkness.
Now again, he was saying they were in this gross darkness, even though they were, from the world standpoint, they were bright, successful, wonderful. All right, chapter 5. Hear this word, which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live, but seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall be surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Now all of those places, Gilgal and Bethel, etc., those are the places where the Ark of the Covenant was set up. And it was okay, because that's what they used to set up. But once Jerusalem was established, in other words, from your standpoint, once you have said to the Lord, I'm yours without condition, then it is illegal to go back to those high places for sustenance and satisfaction. Because you're now his completely, and his alone to satisfy you, and his alone to sustain you. And so every time you lean on your own arm of understanding, you're going back to Gilgal, or back to Beersheba, or back to the other places that used to be okay to go to. Everybody understand that? Now you wait only on him. Seek, in verse 6, seek the Lord, and you shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. You who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Amen? Now, so the whole point of the shadow of death, and this is what I want to get into your head, is that the shadow of death is there by the hand of God in order for you to repent totally and to wait in the shadow of death, not leaning on your own arm of understanding for a solution. Amen? You might have one more. Let me check. Well, yeah, let's go there. In chapter 4, verse 12, this is the beginning when Jesus begins his earthly ministry.
Luke?
No, Matthew 4. Verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now, is sprung up is that same word that was called the day star arising or the branch. It's that boom, it bursts forth. It's Aaron's rod budding. Amen? For at that time, Jesus began to preach and say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is wherever Messiah is. Now the kingdom of heaven is in you. There is no excuse for anything else. Other than, I mean, everything else is rebellion. Amen? A little better understanding of the shadow of death? The skia thanatos. Thanatos. All right, any response to anything? Everybody understands perfectly.
I had a response about one.
Okay. You have to speak up.
I had a response about what we said earlier, and I was thinking about, I don't know, about the affliction or suffering or something or whatever. And it's like, I know you told us of your experience and all of that, but, I haven't had that experience. And when I'm in a lot of pain and stuff, all I want to do is just get out of it.
No, I understand. But there will reach a point when you have to say, there's nothing that can be done except waiting on God. It's not. He wants the best for you. But the best after what he knows is best, not what you think is best. I did the same thing, and it's starting again, these stupid spasms and pain in my eye and teeth and all that. It's starting again. It happened 3 times yesterday. But I went for a long time. It wasn't until that one singular event where I had to ask God to forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain. Now that doesn't make any sense to anybody. But it must come to that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want anything. And that has to happen. That's when your obedience is fulfilled. And it's a rough one sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
Take it, big guy.